Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Can nature and city design team up to fight climate change? Here on Advanced. Hello, 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 and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe. I'm very happy you're joining us here for the third day of our environment lesson. We have been talking mainly about the sea for the last 2 days, and today we're going to go to the city, to the more urban areas where people like to spend a lot of their time. So, joining me in the studio, we have Linda. Hello again, Linda, and thank you for joining me again.
Thank you for having me, Gabe. It is great to be back on this environment article. I really liked the past 2 days, what we talked about. Although we're leaving Miami, my hometown, I look forward to today's article.
Yeah, where we will be going to another, learning a little bit about another famous city in the United States. But yeah, man, just learning about, just talking about what BioCap has been doing for the environment and marine ecosystems on the shorelines has been pretty inspiring. And it also reminded me of that time a couple of years ago when
we went beach cleanup.
Yeah, we went to, and did a beach cleanup. Yeah,
it was like, we did a beach cleanup.
Yeah, Anne-Marie's family, my family, you invited us.
Yes,
To go with you and a group that you're with. What is it called?
Fit Fam.
Yes. Fit Fam, that's right. There's a little shout out for Fit Fam here in Taipei. But yeah, I really appreciated that. I just loved that, you know, that you guys were, I think it was a day where a lot of other groups were also doing beach cleanups.
Right. I believe it was the national cleanup day, for the entire island to clean up the beaches and environment that day. So all over the island, they were doing cleanups. So we were part of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, everybody can do their part. You know, even if you're not working at BioCap as an engineer architect in that way, that requires a lot of hard skills that most of us just don't have. But we can go and pick up litter.
Yes, that is something you can do on a daily basis.
Right, yeah.
And dispose of your own litter properly, recycle, reuse, yes. Reuse your items, don't use disposable stuff, yeah. So there are things that we can just do in our daily lives.
That's right. So we're moving away from the ocean. I love the ocean, probably more than I love the city. Mm. But we're going to cities. But, you know, something I do appreciate about a lot of cities around the world is that they are intentional about planting trees and bushes and things like that.
Yes.
I love it when cities do that. You know, when you're driving downtown, but in between the lanes is just a row of bushes, trees, like really tall trees that provide a lot of shade.
Right. And it's multi-purpose, just like the project that we talked about with the BioCap tiles, like it was to lessen the impact of the waves and also to provide biodiversity, to enhance biodiversity and also to improve water quality. Trees, planting trees in cities is also multi-purpose. Like, you make it cooler, there's shade, and also to get rid of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about this, Linda? When you are walking through the city, do you consider what makes you feel cool? Like, have you ever thought, oh, do buildings make you feel cooler or do trees make you feel cooler? Or is it not even something that you've considered?
Well, I do consider shade a lot, especially in Taipei, because we've lost trees due to typhoons, a significant amount of trees, like in the last big typhoon. So I do consider that because I'm outdoors a lot and shade really helps.
Yeah. So even tall buildings, like the shade of tall buildings will, will make you feel cool.
Yes, I try to ride my bicycle in the shade of tall buildings, like if I can.
Yeah, I mean, I've I've done that as well on my scooter, like trying to drive my scooter underneath the MRT line.
Yes, follow it.
I should probably not say that because that's not the the proper lane for scooters usually.
True.
However, I'm like, man, it's so hot out today. Or maybe it's raining, right? And so like it'll provide a little bit of protection from the rain.
The elements, yes.
But yeah, if it's shade, it's shade. It's like if it's from a building or if it's from a tree. But I think there's something psychologically pleasing about having the shade of a tree versus the building.
Also, it allows you to get breeze. Like the breeze won't be blocked by the building or blocked by the trees as it would be if it was a building. And it probably is psychological too. Like it feels cooler because it's natural shade.
Yeah. I just love it. Again, you know, whenever a city it just plants a lot of trees, bushes, things like that.
And it just looks nicer. Yeah, having greenery, like it always helps the look of the city to have more greenery.
Yeah. Well, friends, we are getting into our lesson today. It's called Green Corridors in the Asphalt Jungle. At the end of yesterday's lesson, I did talk a little bit about what a corridor is. In general, Linda, what does a corridor make you think of? Where might you find a corridor?
So a corridor is a long passage. Mm-hmm. And I immediately think of like a hallway, specifically at the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial. There is a corridor around the memorial and it's shaded. So actually when we exercise there and it's raining, we can normally we do it like on the staircase of the memorial.
Yeah.
But when it's raining, we can go to the corridors and practice in a protected area from the rain.
I was just in the hospital the other day because I think I have tendonitis and the Sanzong Hospital has just long corridors. You know, so those are obviously man-made. They're inside of a building. It's just a long hallway.
Right.
But that's exactly what a corridor is. Maybe a public school, you know, will have hallways that could be referred to as corridors as well. And also in this section, this title, we see the asphalt jungle. I usually hear about cities as concrete jungles.
Yeah, so I think this is a take on that term, concrete jungle. Yeah.
Yeah, and but asphalt and concrete are different.
They are different, yes. They're both man-made, and you find a lot of it in cities or urban areas. But asphalt is the black sticky substance that is used to pave roads. And then concrete is white, and it's what's used to make sidewalks and buildings.
Yeah, often we use the words concrete and cement kind of interchangeably, whereas asphalt is more like the roads that we drive on. So green corridors in the asphalt jungle, what could this be referring to? Well, there's only one way to find out. So let's get into the first reading for the day.
Green corridors in the asphalt jungle. Green corridors, or ecological corridors, are strips of vegetation and natural landscape dispersed throughout a city. From simple street-lined rows of trees to interconnected networks of parks and pathways, these developments provide a flexible, natural solution for the climate effects of urbanization. One of the most pressing environmental hazards cities face today is the urban heat island effect. Large buildings, expansive roads, and other man-made infrastructures absorb more heat than surrounding rural areas, leading to significantly higher temperature levels. When combined with global warming, these uncomfortable living conditions can be very detrimental for urban residents. Local air quality also deteriorates from industrial and transportation pollution. With an expected 68% of world population in cities by 2050, according to the UN, the health situation in urban environments will only grow worse.
Well, I'm glad we're not ending the lesson here. because that was pretty negative. But that's exactly what this article, the way the article is written, is it's introducing the problem first, and then we're going to get to the solution later. But we need to understand the problem in order to appreciate the solution. So green corridors, they're also called ecological corridors, are strips of vegetation and natural landscape that are dispersed throughout a city. What does it mean if something is dispersed?
It's distributed over a large area. So these strips of vegetation and greenery, natural landscape, they are distributed or dispersed throughout the city.
Yeah, and strips, you could think of, it's not just one bush here and there or one tree here. It's like long lines of vegetation and plant life, and they're all throughout a city. Well, from simple street-lined rows of trees to interconnected networks of parks and pathways, these developments provide a flexible natural solution for the climate effects of urbanization. And that is what we're going to be talking about in this next paragraph, the climate effects of urbanization. First of all, what is urbanization?
That is basically making an area become a city. So citifying an area, increasing the population, building tall buildings, and making it an urban area.
That's right. Of course, you know, when the cities we know about now, they didn't start out the way they are now. They started one house at a time, right? Maybe it started out as a small village, turns into a town, then it becomes a city. It becomes urbanized, right? Or it's getting urbanized. So here in this next paragraph, we're talking about the real problem. One of the most pressing environmental hazards cities face today is the urban heat island effect. If something is pressing, that means it is very serious. It is a concern that we should be thinking about dealing with very soon or as soon as possible. So if someone says it's a pressing matter, that means it's urgent. You should not put it off. You should deal with it as soon as possible. But have you heard of the heat island effect or the urban heat island effect?
I had not, but
you can imagine what it is almost right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you like to ride your bike anywhere, but like you ride your bike from your house to work. Do you like to ride your bike throughout the city?
Yeah, I do. It's my transportation, so I do have to ride through the city. And I ride with the traffic and on these asphalt roads next to all of this concrete. So just seeing what a city is built from, the asphalt and the concrete, that results in a higher temperature because those materials absorb the heat and contributes to the city being hotter.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to imagine, like when we know black absorbs heat the most, right? And asphalt is usually dark gray or black.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can see it, especially in the summer months, right? You can kind of on the, if there's a little a rise in the road ahead, you can kind of see the heat coming off the asphalt.
You can. Yeah. And you definitely feel it. Sometimes I felt this earlier this year, last year. It was hot during the day, but it had cooled down as the sun was going down. And so the air wasn't hot, it was cool. But there was just heat radiating from the concrete and from the surface, man-made surfaces.
Right.
So it really traps that, absorbs it and keeps it in the buildings and in the surfaces that we walk on.
Yeah. And I ride my scooter from place to place. And so I feel it even more, especially when we come to the stoplights, because now I'm parked next to these bigger vehicles, especially buses.
Oh, yes. And they're giving off heat as well. Yeah. And exhaust.
Exactly. All these terrible things, right? So we read here, large buildings, expansive roads, and other man-made infrastructures absorb more heat than surrounding rural areas, which kind of, you know, just even reading that makes me want to move to the countryside and just enjoy nature a little bit more. But then when combined with global warming, these uncomfortable living conditions can be very detrimental for urban residents. Urban residents, that's just another way of saying people that live in a city. Detrimental it means bad for you,
yeah,
or causing
harmful,
harm.
Yes.
I often think of the opposite as beneficial. If you want to talk about beneficial or detrimental, those are usually opposites. But then we see another D word in the next sentence.
Yes. So local air quality also deteriorates from industrial and transportation pollution. So the air quality will get worse. If something deteriorates, it will become worse.
That's right. So it's a big word, but it's a good word to know and be able to use interchangeably with the idea of getting worse. And so, yeah, these things are really bad for us. Well, with an expected 68% of world population in cities by 2050, according to the UN, the health situation in urban environments will only grow worse. Okay, well, is there hope? Of course there's hope. We should always have a positive outlook. And, you know, I'm so grateful for organizations that are doing something to help combat the climate crisis. Let's get into the next section right now, natural air conditioning.
Natural air conditioning. Green corridors offer a promising start to mitigating these urban issues, allowing cities to naturally lower temperatures through evapotranspiration, a plant process that releases water vapor to cool the surrounding air. Increased vegetation will also allow more hazardous particulate matter and carbon dioxide to be absorbed, reducing greenhouse gas concentration and improving air quality. Colombia's second largest city, Medellin, launched a green corridor initiative in 2016. Since then, environmental planners there have added rows of vegetation along the most polluted avenues, maximizing the amount of CO2 intake from their $16.8 million investment.
Well, anything that can help make your summer feel cooler is a good thing. Of course, I use our air conditioner at home, our air conditioners, our AC units.
Yes, and it's something that's hard to do without, especially here in Taipei, where it gets really hot and humid during summer.
Yeah, you try to make rules for yourself, like, oh, I'm only going to turn it on during certain times of the day or only for so long. Or if you have many AC units, it's like, okay, I'm not going to have more than two on at the same time or something. But yeah, you really have to have those rules in place. Otherwise, it's just easy to keep them on, right?
Mm-hmm. And in some places, like in the U.S., which normally uses central air conditioning, like it's just one central unit, not individual units in different rooms, you do keep it on all year. But it's different because, yeah, it's centralized air versus here in Taipei. Every room has an air conditioner, and I think it ends up using more energy. Mm-hmm. So we have to be aware of like turning it off when we're not in the room.
That's right. So if you can have natural air conditioning, well, that's a plus for sure. That's what we're talking about here with the vegetation, the trees, the plants. Green corridors offer a promising start to mitigating these urban issues. I usually see the word promise as a noun, like I'm going to make a promise to somebody. That means I say I'm going to do something, so I should do it. I'm going to keep my promise. What is a promising start?
So something that shows promise. So this start is hopeful. It shows promise in mitigating these issues that are in cities. And mitigate means to make less harmful, to make the impact less. And usually it's a harmful impact.
Yeah. In fact, we could even use that word mitigate to talk about what BioCap is doing.
Exactly.
From our lesson yesterday. They're kind of mitigating the impact on the environment in the oceans. But we read on here that's allowing cities to naturally lower temperatures through, here's a word that I don't think I've ever even seen before, evapotranspiration.
Yeah, it seems like just two words were squashed together, like evaporation and transpire. Yeah.
Right. So, and we see the definition right here, which is this process that releases, where plants release water vapor to cool the surrounding air. When I think about plants, the first thing that comes to mind, I mean, I think about their beauty, but when I think about plants' relationship with humans, the first thing that comes to mind is that plants will absorb CO2 mm-hmm. and then they release
Provide oxygen
back mm-hmm. into the air. Whereas we're the opposite, right? We intake oxygen and nitrogen and then we exhale CO2.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this like we call it a symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Symbiosis. Yes. So we're both benefiting from this relationship.
That's right. Mutually beneficial, right? Like Nemo and the sea anemones mm-hmm. in the ocean, right? Those clownfish. But here I learned something new. It's not just about, you know, releasing carbon dioxide into the air, but they also release water vapor, this evapotranspiration process.
Yes. So it's not just psychological mm-hmm. why we feel cooler under tree shade rather than building shade.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are making it cooler.
They are. I knew plants were great for so many things.
Many reasons,
many
yes.
reasons. Well, increased vegetation will also allow more hazardous particle matter and carbon dioxide to be absorbed. That's the thing, you know, I knew already about carbon dioxide in trees. And this reduces greenhouse gas concentration and improves air quality. Now we see, it's nice to learn about the general idea of something, but it's also good to get the specifics or certain case studies. So what is this next paragraph about?
It is about Colombia's second largest city, Medellin or mm-hmm. Medellin, right? Mm-hmm. Launching a Green Corridor Initiative, which took place in 2016. And since then, environmental planners there have added rows of vegetation along their most polluted avenues or streets. And so this ends up maximizing the amount of carbon dioxide that is taken out of the air
mm-hmm.
or taken from their investment.
That's right. Yeah. Like the more trees you have, the less carbon dioxide there's going to be that we have to deal with.
Exactly.
Right? Because the trees are absorbing that. And so, you know, as you see here, it's an initiative that began in 2016. An initiative in this case, or in many cases, is something that a person or a company or organization will start to do to try to improve the environment or try to improve life in some way. They're contributing to society in some way. And it means it hasn't been done before. So that's why it's called an initiative. They're trying to do something, get something started. And they launched this initiative. And you can see about this a little bit if you want to look this up on YouTube. I think it's the Al Jazeera English channel. I found a nice little video kind of talking about what Colombia is doing here with their green corridors. Well, does this only impact the climate? Not exactly. And that's what our next section is going to be talking about, wildlife and urban life. Here we go.
Wildlife and urban life. Fighting climate change isn't the only thing green corridors can do. Historically, wildlife has rarely been welcomed into urban life. However, nature-based infrastructure can promote biodiversity and provide animal species with a safe habitat. Green corridors are indeed multi-purpose and flexible. To maximize the limited space in busy cities, green corridors can function as recreational centers, city facilities, and much more, all while mitigating climate change. Green corridors can be an effective solution for any city, anywhere. In New York, the Manhattan Waterfront Greenway consists of almost 32 miles of bike path lined with various plant species. Urban nature ways in Singapore mimic the natural rainforests by incorporating trees with canopies stretching across the roads.
Well, I love this, Linda. You know, that second sentence there, historically, wildlife has rarely been welcomed into urban life. That made me a little bit sad when I thought back about, yeah, how come, you know, I'm in the city, but I don't, aside from some cats and dogs, like I don't see a lot of wildlife. But how would you feel, or how do you feel when you see animals or birds finding a home in the middle of a busy city?
It is great. Yeah,
I know, it's
like
awesome.
When you go to parks and you hear the birds singing and you see them and see small wildlife running mm-hmm. around.
Right. And so that's kind of what, green corridors may also be encouraging as well. We read, however, nature-based infrastructure can promote biodiversity. Another word there is to encourage biodiversity and provide animal species with a safe habitat, even in an urban environment.
Mm-hmm. It is possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know not all wildlife can just come to the city. I don't think we would survive very well with bears, and I don't think zebras would survive very well with us.
Right. Large. Yeah. Large antelope or deer. Yeah. They don't go together. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I'm very hopeful and very excited about, if more cities follow these kind of initiatives around the world, then we may end up seeing some more animals than we're used to, more, especially maybe birds than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, more species. Like,
yeah, more species.
Increasing, yeah, the biodiversity, like they mentioned here.
Yeah, which is great. So green corridors are indeed multipurpose and flexible. What does it mean to maximize something? It says to maximize the limited space in busy cities.
To make the most of. And we had a word earlier in the previous article, optimize. Mm-hmm. So similar. You want to make the most of whatever you have. And in this case, it's the limited space that we have in cities.
That's right. And so these green corridors can function as recreational centers, city facilities, and much more. So as our lesson says, they are multipurpose. Mm-hmm. It's not just about combating climate change. But at the same time, it does mitigate climate change. But how does our lesson end here?
So green corridors can be an effective solution for any city, anywhere. And New York is mentioned, the city of cities, mm-hmm. a Manhattan waterfront greenway. It provides 32 miles of bike path, and it is lined with various plant species. So we have a picture of that Manhattan waterfront greenway at the bottom of your page, and you can see like pedestrians and cyclists. I think I see a cyclist in the picture, and it's right, next to a waterway, water right there.
And a huge purpose for that one in New York is to provide a safe place for pedestrians and especially cyclists to be able to get from place to place without being any interference from other types of traffic.
Yes.
Cars,
I can't imagine cycling in New York City. I haven't tried it. But
now with this, you might have a different experience.
Yes. Away from car traffic.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And our lesson ends with these urban nature ways in Singapore that kind of copy or mimic the natural rainforest, which is cool. It incorporates trees with canopies stretching across the road. A canopy in general is a protection, a kind of, kind of acts like a roof in some way. But specifically when we're talking about plant canopies, that is the leaves, the branches of trees that act as a roof in the forest, a covering over mm-hmm. top.
Yeah.
So any takeaway from this these lessons, Linda?
Well, I think this project is great as well, just like the BioCat project, because it is taking into consideration nature and how these corridors should be structured or designed so that it benefits both the city dwellers and possible wildlife and mm-hmm. plant life.
Yeah. And I think that cities around the world should consider incorporating more and investing more in green spaces like this, even if it means less space for roads and maybe even parking, as difficult as it is to find parking. Yeah, I just think that I love it that organizations are considering ways to incorporate more greenery into our urban areas. Friends, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us for this environment lesson these past couple of days. My name is Gabe.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.